Welcome to the Schoolhouse Rocked podcast. I'm Yvette Hampton, producer and host of the upcoming documentary Schoolhouse Rocked, The Homeschool Revolution. On this podcast, we bring you the very best from today's homeschool leaders to help you start strong and finish well. This podcast is for you. If you have a guest or topic suggestion, email us at podcast@schoolhouserocked.com. Hey everyone, welcome back to the Schoolhouse Rocked podcast. I'm really excited to introduce you to our guest today. His name is Isaac Morehouse, and he is the founder and CEO of this amazing company called Praxis. And I'm going to let him tell you a little bit about it. But Isaac, welcome to the show. I'm excited to have you on and introduce you to our listeners.
Hey, thanks so much for having me. Really excited to be here and love what you're doing.
Thank you. So tell us a little bit about you and your family.
So, I am a homeschool dad of, and husband of, four kids. So I've got our oldest son is 13 and we've got two daughters, that are seven and eight, almost nine. And then a 1.5-year-old son. So kind of have a wide spread of kids that were homeschooling and, sort of a very loose, almost unschooling, but maybe a little more structured than that. And then I'm running, you know, Praxis, the company, which, I'm sure we'll talk about it at a later date. So, I don't know anything. My wife, you know, is with the kids, kind of running them around and doing the homeschool thing while I'm at work. But we both, you know, I work from home at least one day a week and we try to share as much as possible.
Yeah, that's awesome. So I love that you actually say you kind of unschool your kids a little bit, because that's actually part of your story. Because you were homeschooled growing up, and I would love for you to tell our listeners about your story, because you have such a powerful story about being homeschooled as a kid yourself.
No, I think it's a pretty common story among homeschoolers that a lot of them maybe, I don't know if they don't want to admit but like just don't advertise, because, you know, because when I grew up homeschooled, I mean, this was a long time ago and homeschooling was still pretty new and pretty radical. I mean, it still is, but much more so. And you know, you would have like, what were the magazines? Teaching Home and Practical Homeschooling.
Yeah.
And you know, they always have these families where like all the kids speak three languages and are like churning butter and sewing their own clothes and, you know, doing Latin and all this stuff. And I think my mom looked at that and, you know, would go to all these curriculum fairs and would come back with tons and tons of books. You know, we had all the Abeka books, we had all the Saxon math books, we had, you know, all these different really in-depth curriculum. We're going to do this. We're going to do this. We're going to try this method. And there's always some new things you get really hyped up about. And it would just fall apart after like a week, every day, every time, whatever the new structure was going to be or whatever. And you know, my dad was in a car accident when I was three. And so he still has a closed head injury. He's in a wheelchair. He needs 24-hour care. And so he came home and lived with us, and there were home health aides that would be there during the day helping out. But like, my mom had to take care of him in addition to homeschooling us. Mm. And so, you know, it was just, I mean, my mom is not a very organized person anyway. She's more idealistic than she is, you know, execute on all these ideas. But added to the fact that she's trying to homeschool three children and take care of her, you know, disabled husband, it just wasn't practical to do all this stuff. And so what ended up happening was I played a lot of Legos and baseball.
Nice.
And my mom was very social and very chatty. And so, you know, and this was back in the days where people would just make unannounced phone calls to each other. And that's how you kept up. There was no Facebook or anything like that. So we would be, you know, my mom would be like, okay, come down, do your math. And we'd be sitting around the table. The phone would ring and she'd go answer the phone. And we knew that this would give us a good hour, because she'd be talking on the phone to one of her friends.
Yep.
So my brother and I would sneak upstairs, and I remember we had big Lego bins, and you know, when you're pawing through trying to look for a piece, it's kind of loud. You can hear the Lego bin shifting around. So we would have to like pluck the pieces out one by one so that my mom wouldn't hear and realize that we were playing. So we'd be up there playing and you know, an hour would go by, and then we'd hear her yell, "Boys, come back down here." And we'd come back down, you know, but really, I mean, it was pretty much unschooling. You know, we always had some stuff we were supposed to do, but we really hardly did any of it. And we did have a lot of household chores. And so we always did like chores. There was a good work ethic, I think, was instilled. But in terms of the academic stuff, really, it was kind of a free for all. We had some homeschool classes and things when we got a little bit older. And there was, you know, sports, homeschool basketball team and things like that. And we had, you know, a lot of socialization with a lot of other homeschoolers in our area. They had, you know, field trips and things like that. So we weren't isolated, but we were not following any kind of curriculum at all. And my mom always felt very bad about this. She always felt very guilty, you know, like we should be, you know, raising a barn in between studying, you know, classical Greek or whatever. And she, you know, she always had this feeling like she should be doing it better. It should be more structured. It should be this. And, you know, at the time I never really like, I was just glad that I could escape and, you know, play. And, but I didn't really like think it was right or wrong from like a learning standpoint. The further I've gone in my life, and especially having my own kids and having sort of dive pretty deep into, you know, a lot of the work on learning and how it happens and understanding more about unschooling and the importance of freedom and play, I could not be more thankful for the way that I grew up with a ton of independence and the ability to kind of pursue what I was interested in. You know, even though it wasn't exactly what my mom intended, I'm actually really glad it worked out that way. I wouldn't have it any other way. So I guess if there's a moral to this from now being a homeschool parent, I had to try to look at my own, you know, the way that I came up as a homeschooler as a reminder for me to relax when it comes to my own kids.
Sure.
Because I, you know, it's like, no matter how much you theoretically believe that like, yeah, kids will, they can direct themselves and figure it out. And when they need to learn something, they will. And like, I believe all this stuff because I know enough about it and I've looked into it enough to know that, you know, I think this is true. But then you still get those moments of panic where you start to like compare your kids to other kids and like, do they know what they're supposed to know at this age by some arbitrary school board standard or whatever? Right. And you kind of, you know, oh, my kids, they're not going to be this or they're not going to be that. And just looking back and being like, there was nothing about me as a child that showed any indication of like being successful in any sense. I just sort of played and just did stuff. Like, but it like, it's okay. Your kids will be okay. If you provide the basic structure around them and if you provide an example of, and this is one thing I'm really grateful to my mom for, she was relentlessly curious herself. And just liked to learn and found things fascinating. And she'd be like, oh, let's look that up in the dictionary. And she'd get all excited about it, you know, whatever. Oh, let's go look this up in the encyclopedia. You know, at the time we just sort of roll our eyes, but like learning didn't seem like some horrible thing in and of it, if it's something you're interested in. And we had a lot, like I was really interested in the Civil War randomly for a couple years when I was young. And so I just read everything I could on the Civil War. And we did a little family trip out to Gettysburg and, you know, being able to pursue things you're interested in and take them, not having your day so filled up with like 50 minute segments of subjects you're not interested in so that you could literally lose yourself for a whole day or week or month in one thing that you are interested in. I'm really grateful that was, you know, kind of the way it happened.
Yeah. That's awesome. And I agree completely because everyone has their own interests. God's made all of us unique in that way. And so some are interested in the Civil War and some are not. so we can't end there, of course. Continue on, because I love your story. You actually went on to attend a private school, right, in high school?
Yeah, so I was the youngest of an older brother and older sister, and you know, real close with them, still am to this day. But they, so once my brother turned 16 and had his driver's license, and he was out of the house a lot. So he was working and he had, you know, went to some homeschool classes and whatever. And my sister was as well. So, you know, I was 14. I was at the house a lot while, you know, siblings were away, and it was like, okay, I'm kind of bored. And several of my friends, who were homeschooled, had gone to this small private school primarily because they had a better basketball team than the homeschool team. and so I said, I want to go to this school. So I went for my sophomore year of high school. I went to a private school. And what was funny is because we had been so loosely structured, I never knew, like when people would ask, what grade are you in? I never knew. I was like, I don't know what that means. So I had no idea, am I going to go in and just be totally stupid, like behind on everything?
Sure.
Or am I going to be fine? I have no idea. So I took a placement test to see like what grade I should start in or whatever. And they were like, well, you could be a junior if you wanted to, even though like you're the age of a freshman.
Wow.
And that was a good reminder to me too. Like, I'm not a really smart kid. I'm not smart, like some level of genius, but I'm
some might disagree with that.
no, really. Like, there's nothing, you know, then and now that like, I don't have like some crazy IQ or some ability to, you know, like some savant or something, but I think we always had work ethic. And so even that placement test, like, oh, okay, I got to take this thing and figure out like if I'm even smart enough to handle normal, we used to call it normal kid school, normal kid school. And so like for a week or two beforehand, I just like read up on some stuff. And this is one of the things that I think has stuck with me. Most things in life, you can learn it really, really fast, not become an expert in it, but learn enough of it to solve the immediate problem really, really fast if the incentives are right. And you see this with kids. Like, you try to get your kids to read, they don't want to learn to read. And all of a sudden they want to play a video game that requires learning to read.
Right.
All of a sudden they learn to read really fast. Yeah. Like, it's so interesting. So anyway, so I got in and did fine. It wasn't like a really high end or competitive school or anything, but, went there for a year and I enjoyed it. I enjoyed the social aspects and sports, but like, it always felt like a waste of time to me. I was so used to having so much independence, being on this track where we're herded like cattle to like, okay, now everybody, regardless of interest and ability, regardless of if you're way ahead or way behind, you're all going to sit in the same room for 50 minutes until the bell goes off and then move to the next room and do the next thing. No matter what, it just seemed like so tracked. And I liked to work and earn money, and it was inhibiting my ability to, you know, because I was at school so many hours, and I just kind of wanted more independence. And so after 1 year there, I decided to go to a community college, which a lot of homeschoolers will do. So I remember I was in classes at community college, and community college is like, you know, there's an interesting mix beyond, you know, there's people there who are like 40, 50, you know, older students, as well as your typical sort of 20 something college students. And so in the classes, it was always funny. I would get, cause I started going there when I think I was 15. So my mom had to drop me off. I didn't have my license yet. So I like wait outside for my mom to pick me up from my college classes. So I went there like 2 or 3 days a week. I would cram in all my classes, and then I would work the other 2-3 days a week and kind of pay my way through. So when I sort of graduated high school, though I never got a high school diploma, I never took the ACT or SAT. For all I know, I could be a complete idiot. I don't know. I don't have any standardized test scores to tell me. But I transferred all my credits to the generic state university, in Kalamazoo, Michigan, where I grew up, Western Michigan University. And so then I did 2 years there, same thing. I went to, you know, I'd take 18 to 20 credit hours every semester, put them, you know, cram it into 2 to 3 days a week, and I'd work the rest of the time, pay my way through. And so I got a bachelor's degree when I was 19.
Wow.
And you know, went on my merry way. Yeah. But that's kind of where the idea for Praxis came from too, initially, because I felt like, again, my college classes, I felt like it was such a waste of time and money. There were a few classes I really liked, but those were classes where we're talking about philosophy and whatever. And I was doing that with my friends at the coffee shop anyway, you know, like it wasn't, so paying all this money, and here I am not really learning anything that valuable, certainly not career wise. And then I'm the other days a week, I'm working for a small business owner and learning a ton on the job in the real world and getting paid for it. And I thought, well, this is crazy. Like the thing that's actually benefiting me in my career is the thing I'm doing and getting paid for.
Right.
And then I'm turning around and spending all this money on it. Like, why am I even here? So anyway, that was kind of the impetus, but we can get into that a little bit.
Yeah. And so then, so you actually, I don't remember, you have 2 degrees, right?
So later, I got a master's degree, in economics as well. So that was a little bit down the road while I was working full time. I had a really, really cool, opportunity at a program that focused particularly on Austrian economics, which is something I'm really passionate about. Mm-hmm. And I had somebody that was offered to pay for me to do the program. And so I thought, man, I can't miss this opportunity to go and dive into all these books. And so I did that as well.
Wow. Yeah, that's cool. Okay. So then you went from there, you got a couple of degrees, and then you moved into kind of a career path. But that led to this company that you now found and are CEO of called Praxis. Praxis is fascinating to me. I learned about it first from Dorinda Wilson. One of her sons goes through, I want to say maybe even a second one is going to go through it. I don't know. But anyway, Dorinda Wilson told me about it. She's actually the one who introduced you to me. And she said, you've got to meet this guy named Isaac Morehouse. He has this amazing company and he's doing incredible things with young adults who are either, and some of them, correct me if I'm wrong, some of them are kids who are just coming straight out of high school and going into their adult life. And then some are kids who have actually graduated from college, right?
And, yeah, absolutely.
Okay. So talk about Praxis. Tell us what you do. And I would love, before you tell us, get into the meat of what Praxis is, I love your story about how Praxis came about and how you started this company.
Yeah. So, you know, after my own experience in college, as I mentioned, I remember one day I had this epiphany. I'm sitting there in class and there's all these kids that are sort of like hungover and mumbling and not interested in being there. The professor sure. wasn't interested in being there. And I thought, you know, all I'm really buying is a piece of paper that says to the world, I'm probably no worse than anybody else sitting here. Cause I'm like, everybody here is going to graduate with the same piece of paper uh-huh. and their GPA may be a little different, whatever. No one cares about that. And I'm basically telling the world I'm probably on par with everybody else that has the same degree as me. Mm-hmm. And I thought, well, that's a pretty weak signal, mm-hmm. you know? And that's really when I started to understand what the college degree is. It is a signal, and that's why people buy it. They buy it because they think, well, I've got a signal to employers that I have ability and skill, that I'm worth taking time on. I guess I got to get a degree to do that. Right. Well, the once you realize it's a signal, the next realization is pretty quick. You realize, well, wait a minute. If that's a signal, could I build a better signal? Mm-hmm. And in fact, not could I, you have to build a better, because even if you have a degree, nobody says, oh, wow, you have a degree, you're hired, right? They want to mm-hmm. see something in addition to that. That's sort of like a baseline.
Right.
Well, once you build something more interesting than a degree, suddenly the degree doesn't matter, mm-hmm. right? It's just like if you have a degree, nobody asks about your high school diploma. Or right. if you have 3 years of work experience, nobody asks about your degree, mm-hmm. right? So if you can say, how can I build a signal that makes employers say, wow, yeah, I'd like to hire you. Mm-hmm. And that doesn't need to be a degree. In fact, a degree is probably the least efficient way to signal skill and ability. So anyway, that was kind of the beginning of the realization way back then. And then, you know, over the next 10 years of my career, I worked for a couple different nonprofits where I was primarily working with college students, some high school students, running some educational programs, doing some career, you know, career guidance type stuff. And I'm running into, especially after the 2008 financial, you know, mm-hmm. crash, I'm running into more and more of these college students who are like, okay, I've got a degree and I've got all this debt, but there are no jobs, nobody's hiring. Right. And then many of them would say, well, I guess I'll go back and get a master's degree, not for any particular reason, except that's the only way that I'll be able to defer making payments on my student loans. Mm.
So as I'll they accumulate more student loans.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Just to buy myself time. And I thought, man, this is crazy. So I moved into fundraising for a nonprofit. And so now I'm traveling around the country, meeting with very, very successful sort of self-made, you know, entrepreneurs who are millionaires and very wealthy and who are, you know, contributing to this organization. And so I always loved asking them their story about their business and what are they doing. And so I always ask, like, what's the biggest constraint to growth for your business? What's your big challenge? And every one of these business owners would say, talent. I can't find mm-hmm. enough good people. They would yeah. say, I don't care what the economy is doing. I'm always hiring if I can find good people.
Yeah.
And it's just really, really hard. And I would also ask, you know, what's the biggest contributor to your success? And almost every time it'd be like hiring good people. You know, when mm-hmm. I hired my COO or whatever, it was always a story of like people are the key to businesses. Yeah. And businesses are always desperate for people who show some shred of competence and ambition and ability. And it's right. Unfortunately, it's rare. And it's rare to be able to demonstrate it, even if you have it. And so I thought, man, I know a lot of young people out there who are talented, but they're sitting in wasting their time, just like I did in classrooms. My college degrees never did anything for me professionally, by the way. All the professional opportunities I got through reputation, hard work, offering to work for free, you know, building a personal network. Nobody ever like checked on my degree, or even if it was listed on a resume, nobody ever asked about it or called the university to verify. They didn't care because there was something more important. And so I thought, you know, there's got to be a better way to one, help young people get the skills they need. Because even if they go to college, they come out of college and they don't have anything to offer the job market. Like the things you learn in college are completely irrelevant yeah. to what you need for most jobs. And I'm talking about people primarily like me who don't know, like I never grew up knowing I want to be a doctor or, you know, right. I want something really specific. Like if you know very specifically that you want to do something that has a very clear path to it, like medicine or right. law or something like that. Okay. There's a known path there. You know, there may be better ways and things, but most young people I think are unsure. But they know, you know, if you're kind of like a generalist, like I am, like, I don't know, I'm not like a technical type person, but I like people. I like to communicate. I'm kind of hardworking. I don't even know what's out there because you know, you grow up in sort of the school version of careers are, there are like six careers, you know, like astronaut, cowboy, and then like businessman, you know,
yeah.
It's like, like it's crazy. So no exposure to the kind of roles and opportunities that are out there. So anyway, I thought, okay, well, there's all these businesses looking, there's all these people that are young people that are having a hard time. What's the most efficient way? Like, instead of just asking, you know, what do I think people ought to learn, which is how I think most sort of curriculum are built, and then teaching it to people and then sending them out in the world and hoping that it's useful. Instead, ask, what are businesses actually needing? What are they looking for when it comes to hiring? Mm-hmm. And then let's create the program that gets that as fast as possible. And so put together, the idea was, can we do a program in 1 year for zero cost that gets people up to speed on the basic things they need to enter the professional world, to have their first sort of real professional job, and get them on the ground real experience as fast as possible. And so Praxis is a 6-month professional boot camp, which is done virtually, where you're learning a lot of basic skills from everything from just learning how to manage your own time and schedule, learning basic software things like how to properly use email and Google Calendar and Slack and a lot of common professional software tools, to how to improve your writing, how to get discipline and do something every day, like publish a blog post every day for 30 days to sort of signal to the world that you've got a, you know, higher than average level of discipline and ambition. You're kind of going through with a cohort of others, with personal coaching and workshops, and sort of learning how to build the skills you need and build a body of work that signals those skills. So, you know, you build a profile that's like, here's a project I completed where I went through and did a bunch of, you know, calculations on a spreadsheet, or here's something where I went through and wrote a bunch of marketing copy for an email campaign to showcase my, you know, sort of copywriting skills, to really show your ability through tangible projects. And then we match those people up with startups, and they go and they work and they apprentice for 6 months. It's a paid apprenticeship. So, you know, they pay tuition for the program, but they earn it all back during the apprenticeship. For 6 months, they're working on the ground at startups and learning, you know, on the job in a real situation. And then at the end of the program, like 96% of our graduates get hired full time. And most of them don't have college degrees.
Yeah, that's amazing. That's incredible. I love that you're taking these people. And let me ask really quickly, what is the age range that you take for Praxis?
Yeah, we have no like official limit, or you know, we won't turn anyone away based on age, but it typically, what we like to say is anyone who is ready to launch their career. And so that typically ends up being 18 to 28 in that range, skewing on the younger side. Like our average participant age is like 20. We have had a few people who are younger than 18, Every one of those has been a homeschooler. Mm-hmm. We've had a few 17 and maybe even a 16-year-old. And again, in those cases, the parents have to be fully bought in because, sure. you know, if you're under 18 and you're going to move and work at a startup, it's pretty rare and challenging. But we get probably 75% of our participants are coming right out of high school. And okay. they're like, I'm ready to jump in. I want to start doing my career now. I don't want to rack up debt and waste a bunch of time in college. I mean, not just the cost, but the opportunity cost. 4 years at the end of that time, you could have 4 years real work experience. And, you know, the earnings, our average grad earns about $50,000 a year. You know, the earnings during that time, the ability to build experience in your career. And then the other 25% either have some college or a college degree and still feel like, I need to launch a career and I don't know how. And so our thing is we're going to help you launch your career in 1 year for zero net cost. You're going to walk away with a personal website, a portfolio of projects, a network, a lifetime network of awesome, ambitious young people and businesses, 6 months work experience at a startup, and most likely a full-time job offer.
Yeah. Wow. It's awesome. And you also... You take kids who also are wanting to become entrepreneurs because you're still teaching them that same thing. So talk just briefly, is there a difference in how you train these kids as an entrepreneur versus an employee? Because they're different, you know.
Yeah.
Some of them want to go out and build their own company like what you've done. And then some of them, you know, we have friends, of course. There are lots of people who really, they want that comfort of knowing they're going to get a solid paycheck every Friday. And, you know, they would rather be an employee and a really good employee, but then there's others who just want to be entrepreneurs. Do you differentiate between the two?
Yeah. And I would think a big part of the program is to foster self-discovery mm-hmm. and help our participants figure out not what they're going to be doing in 20 years, because that doesn't even exist yet. Sure. That's too big of an ask. Like, nobody knows that, honestly.
Right.
So, but really to figure out, what does the next few years look like for mm-hmm. me? What are my best next steps? Okay, given my personality and interests and abilities, what might be a good first step for me in my career? Hey, I'm outgoing. I'm competitive. I like to communicate with people. Maybe some kind of a sales or customer support role could be a great fit for that. And that is a great thing to do for the first couple of years. And then maybe after you're in that, you're getting to, you learn, you know what, I really like marketing. I want to move in this direction. And always asking, like, if you have that entrepreneurial bent, which I would say many of our participants are entrepreneurial, mm-hmm. whether or not they decide to launch a business, mm-hmm. our contention is you've got to stop creating this stark divide between employee and entrepreneur. Mm-hmm. Because today, the way you need to navigate the career market, you need to think of yourself as a business, mm-hmm. whether or not you actually start one. Even if you're getting a paycheck from someone else, don't think of it as, well, I'm here and I have this secure paycheck. You got to think of it as, I'm a business and I'm getting paid by my customer as long as I provide goods and services to them that they value. And that customer may be this company, mm-hmm. or it may be a bunch of freelance clients, or it may be customers of my own because I'm starting a company. But thinking of yourself as a business, mm-hmm. I think is necessary regardless of if you're an employee or not. So we try to help kind of everyone start from that framework and think, look, you need to think about how to create value to for people so that they'll pay you. And it doesn't matter if those people are customers buying your product or a company buying your time or whatever it is. But then really have an honest look at what does it take to start and run a business mm-hmm. and to be exposed to that, to work around entrepreneurs in that apprenticeship. I think a lot of people realize, I don't know if I do want that, or at least not yet. Like my hunch is that many Praxis grads 5 or 10 years down the road will start a business.
Yeah.
But they're not there yet. They don't know enough. Like, they haven't had an insight about, aha, here's a need that I can fulfill that I'm really good at. They haven't developed the skill and expertise in an area or a unique insight into the market to say, here's a niche I can fill. And they will develop that over time. And then they'll have all the tools necessary. That's kind of my guess, you know?
Yeah.
So we get a lot of people who are like, I like the idea of being an entrepreneur, but I don't have like a business idea I'm ready to launch today. And my contention is, if you want to be an entrepreneur someday, the best way to get closer, if you don't have an idea you're ready for yet, isn't to study, isn't to read about it in books. It's to go work alongside mm-hmm. people who are entrepreneurs.
Yeah. Yeah. I love the apprenticeship part of Praxis and those people going along and working alongside of people and just learning a trade and, becoming masters of that trade And usually it's something that they're passionate about.
And we focus on, absolutely. And what's pretty cool about the program is when people hear apprenticeship, they tend to think only of things like sort of the skilled trades, like welding or, or plumbing or electrical or something. We are using the apprenticeship model for sort of the professional world and specifically for non-technical roles. So we really specialize in, when I say people are working at startups, they're not doing coding for the most part. Most of our participants are doing things like sales, marketing, operations, customer service, sort of the soft skills, non-technical professional roles, but with the apprenticeship model. So I like to say, startups aren't just for coders and apprenticships aren't just for welders.
Love it.
Kind of doing startup apprenticeships for sort of, generalists who are not necessarily into either skilled trades or highly technical fields.
Yeah, that's awesome. Okay, we have just about 1 minute left, but really quickly, tell people where they can find you and then where do you see Praxis going in the next few years? Because I know you're growing like crazy. Where do you see this going?
Yeah, so check out discoverpraxis.com. And whether or not you're interested in the program itself, the blog there, we've got a couple podcasts. We've got tons. We have over 1,000 articles on the blog, and almost all of them are just about kind of professional, you know, learning and career and life advice for, especially for people early in their career. So tons of great stuff there you can just get for free. So that's discoverpraxis.com. Okay. And where we're going, I mean, so the program right now, you know, it's pretty competitive and it's pretty, only about 15% of people that apply get in. It's pretty intense. And it's this full 1 year thing, you know, it's a commitment. You've got to, for the 6 month apprenticeship, you got to be willing to move and live and work there. What we're working on now is building out some new programs and products so we can dramatically expand our reach beyond, you know, not everybody is able or willing or ready to move and work at a startup for 6 months, but a lot of people are able and willing and ready to get started building their professional skills and creating that sort of portfolio of work that can help them on the job market. And we're working on some products to expand there. So keep in touch with us, get on our newsletter. And in 2019, you should see some new stuff coming.
Exciting. Okay. We will put links back to your website so people can find you there. And thank you so much, Isaac. I appreciate your encouragement for, you know, those mamas who are feeling inadequate and just feeling like they're not doing enough with their kids. They're not structured enough. And you're just a great example of that. You know, God is faithful and he's got a plan for all of us. And I love the plan that he's had for you and the way that it has played out. And you are really impacting a lot of lives. And I think it's awesome. I love what you're doing. So we'll put links back to the show notes. Thanks so much for your time. And we're excited to see what continues to happen with Praxis and how it continues to grow.
Hey, thanks so much, Yvette. It was great to be here.
Yeah. Have a great day.
Too.
Okay, bye-bye. I hope this episode of the Schoolhouse Rocked podcast has been an encouragement in your homeschool journey. For great homeschooling videos, articles, giveaways, and more, check out members.schoolhouserocked.com and use the coupon code PODCAST10 to save 10% on any paid Backstage Pass membership. Backstage Pass members get exclusive access to full interviews from the cast of Schoolhouse Rocked and so much more. Also, don't forget to subscribe to this podcast on iTunes and leave a review. Until next time, I'm Yvette Hampton, wishing you the joys of community and the wisdom to teach and learn. God bless.